Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, as we continue our study in this great epistle written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're still in verses 18 through 30, but I think that today we will just read verses 26 and 27. So Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let's pray. O Lord, You have promised that just as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it sprout and give seed, so also Your word, which goes forth from Your mouth, will not return to You empty, but will accomplish all Your purpose, and it will succeed in the things for which You have sent it. And so we simply ask that You would be true to this promise now, that as Your word is proclaimed, that it might bring forth good fruit in those of us who hear it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to start by sharing perhaps a little bit of my experience at times with prayer. I want this to be a snapshot of what my own prayer life can be at times, and perhaps you will find in it a situation in your own life that sounds a little bit familiar. But let's start with a season in your life in which you've fallen into a pattern of not praying as regularly as you ought. And you know you should be praying, and you feel the guilt of not being regular in prayer. And although you've put it off for far too long because of your guilt, which seems to just delay things, you finally set out to pray again. And you're thinking, okay, I really want to do a good job praying. After all these times of prayerlessness, now I really want to lay my heart out before the Lord and bring these requests before Him, and I want to cover all the things I've missed praying for lately. So you start out with these grand intentions. You want to make a really good prayer, so perhaps you begin with some meditations upon the glory of God. You think, instead of, before I bring all the requests, let me spend a moment to praise the Lord in my prayer. So you start thinking of praising Him for His attributes, or thanking Him for His goodness to you. And you thank God for His grace in your life, for your salvation. You praise Him that He is almighty and that He is holy. And you remember how the Bible talks about how He is thrice holy. Holy, holy, holy. And you remember the hymn that goes that way, holy, holy, holy. And then you remember the way that you heard a little child singing it in church. And you wonder how that child and their family are doing. And you think about the last time that you saw them. And you wish that you could spend more time with their family. And boy, there's a lot of other people I'd really like to spend some time with. And suddenly you find yourself on a thought train that has left the prayer station and has arrived in another state of mind. I'm glad to know I'm not the only one. Eventually you realize what's going on and you try to get back on track, but it keeps happening, right? And you begin to get frustrated, and there's a sense of urgency now. I have to get back to this. And so you start perhaps falling back on just sort of cliche expressions and some of those phrases that you utter over and over, and you begin to grow discouraged that you're just not making the progress in prayer that you wanted. And to make it worse, time is slipping away. You've got an appointment soon and you have to leave the house before long. And so okay, I don't have time to finish this prayer now, I'll just pray in the car on the way. And then that doesn't work because there's so many other things that are competing for your attention. You see things as you drive along and you finally get to your appointments. You do what you need to do. You come back. You get back to the house. There are the daily to-do list and the prayers lie behind you unfinished. And even what was said was rather poorly spoken to begin with. So we all know that prayer is hard work. Prayer can be tiresome. And when we fail to pray well, we are left with great feelings of guilt, at least at times. And I think that this experience that I have just relayed to you is one that we can probably all relate to. My hope last week and this week is to try to help you and me with some of these very struggles. We spent all of last week talking about how the Holy Spirit comes along to help us in our prayers of hopeful groaning. And I hope that you are encouraged to know that God understands just how difficult prayer is for us. So difficult that He's chosen to send two helpers, the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so that they can take over for us in our prayers, but so that they can come alongside us and help us in our weaknesses. Because the Lord doesn't want to take prayer away from us. It is still important to the Lord that we pray. And so He sends us helpers. Well, today we want to continue to think about help and prayer by looking at some practical suggestions for praying. I hope you know and understand that the things in this lesson are really of secondary importance compared to what we said last week. Knowing that we have the Holy Spirit as our helper is far more important and far greater than the practical suggestions we make today. And yet I think and I hope that these will still be of use to you. So what we want to do, you can see the outline in your bulletin, is first just talk about what some of the difficulties are in prayer, why it is that it's a challenge for us. Secondly, we'll discuss some general helps for prayer. Thirdly, some helps that are specifically geared for private prayer. And then fourth, some helps that are specifically for public prayer. So let's begin with the difficulties of prayer. And this is really where our sermon today most directly intersects with our text, right? Verse 26 says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought." We struggle in our prayers, and the text is very clear about this. We don't even know what we ought to ask God for. That's how bad we are at praying. We know we need help, but we can't even fully say what that help is that we need. So let's identify what some of the weaknesses are that cause prayer to be so difficult. First, we can say that there are difficulties in just the nature of prayer. In the nature of prayer, right? We sometimes wonder, what even is true prayer? Or what is prayer from the heart? Or what sort of prayer does God require of us? What kinds of things should I be praying for? How long should I pray for? I don't even know what prayer is like. And the disciples of Jesus felt this way as well, right? Didn't they ask Him, "Lord, teach us to pray"? It's not something that comes naturally to us. Prayer is something that is somewhat foreign. We don't fully understand what it is and what it's supposed to be like. I suspect you've probably had some time in your life and there was some matter that came up and you thought, boy, is this even something I ought to pray about or not? I can remember as a child playing video games and being frustrated that I couldn't beat the level and thinking, well, maybe I just need to pray that God would help me to win the video game. There's some confusion about prayer there, right? You always think about, sporting events. Should you pray for your team to win? What if someone's praying for the other team to win? Who's God gonna think is more important? There's a great deal of confusion on the nature of prayer, and it creates difficulties for us. Perhaps it's appropriate to say here, the Bible does not gives specifics on all of these questions. For instance, the Bible never sets a time on how long we ought to pray. The Bible never says prayers ought to be this long or that short. And so we ought to beware of anyone who gives the impression that a truly spiritual person will pray a certain number of minutes or hours, and often for some reason before the sun even rises in the morning, you're supposed to have prayed for however long. It's not bad to pray like that, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, but it's not a biblical expectation or requirement. But all of this to say we're unclear about prayer on both sides, wondering what's too much and what's not enough, and there's mixed messages that go both ways, right? And so this makes it difficult to pray. There are also difficulties from what we might say is just the complexity of life. The complexity of life makes it difficult to pray. Life is complicated at times. In fact, life is often complicated, and so we often don't know what we should ask for. That's exactly what Romans 8, verse 26 is talking about. Here in this sin-cursed world, we groan because we don't even know what we should ask for. We know we can pray for wisdom. We know we can pray that the Lord's will would be done, and those are certainly excellent things to pray for, but it's very difficult at times to know what we should ask for in specific ways. As we'll talk about this later, I do recommend specific prayers as often as possible, but sometimes we just don't know what that would look like. I like the way that this is expressed. In the Old Testament, King Jehoshaphat, he was king in Judah, and they were under attack from enemies. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. And he prays to the Lord, and he says simply this. This is sort of the end of the prayer. He says, "Lord, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's a great prayer, isn't it? We don't know what to do, but Lord, you are our sovereign king. King Jehoshaphat understood that life is difficult and it's hard to know what to do, and that can make prayer difficult. A third reason prayer can be difficult just comes from the act of prayer. The act of prayer is difficult. There are distractions. It is hard to focus and to concentrate. Sometimes we are tired. Heads bowed and eyes closed make for good sleeping time, right? As Jesus said it, sometimes the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, right? And I love there how Jesus was gentle with his disciples about it, right? He didn't berate them for it, but he was gentle with them. The act of prayer is just difficult because of our created bodies, right? We can have a hard time organizing our thoughts. We can have a hard time remembering what we wanted to pray for. We can have a hard time staying out of ruts that come from praying for the same things over and over and using the same phrases over and over. And when it comes to things like public prayer, there's the extra difficulty of feeling shy or feeling embarrassed about praying in front of others. So there are all kinds of things about the act of prayer that can create difficulty as well. Then there are difficulties related to being faithful and consistent in prayer. There are difficulties in being faithful and consistent in prayer. The busyness of life, as well as the intimidating nature of prayer, accompanied by feelings of guilt, can all keep us from consistent and faithful prayer. Our daily schedules fill up so quickly. Our day starts earlier than we would like, between responsibilities and getting to work, or perhaps a daughter who is awake before us. And once the day starts, it hardly stops, and it's hard to find a time to pray. And then if it has been a very long time since we last prayed, again, we feel that need. I've got to pray a really good prayer, a really long prayer to make up for my prayerlessness. But then that feels intimidating, and so we put it off to another day, and that only adds to the problem. Or I know at times there are feelings of just guiltiness and unworthiness. We feel like, who am I to come before the Lord? So we feel unable to pray. And these things make it difficult to remain constant in prayer. And then finally, although it's really the greatest of all of these, there are difficulties because of sin. Our own sinfulness makes prayer difficult for us. Unrepented sin can be a hindrance in our prayer. After King David sinned, he had to pray and ask that God would restore to him the joy of his salvation. He had lost it in his sin. Our sin makes us cold towards God. It makes us neglectful of Him, and it hinders our prayers. These are just some of the primary difficulties that we have with prayer, and they show again just how much we need help in this seemingly simple act of communicating with God. And this is why it is such a blessing that the Lord has given to us the Holy Spirit, to groan along with us in groans that are even too deep for words. Let's move into some of the practical helps of prayer. Again, starting with some of the general helps. These are things that can apply to just about all kinds of prayer. I'm trying to be very practical in this section, giving you suggestions here for how to pray. First, we need to learn to pray dependently. Learn to pray dependently. And this is really just building on last week's sermon, right? Let us rely upon the Holy Spirit to be our helper in our weakness, as verse 26 describes. We must leave behind thoughts of being able to do this on our own and instead embrace the Spirit who comes to help us. We ought to expect help from God and know that He will give it. Listen to Isaac Watts, the great hymn writer. He says this: if our great God has required every man to pray, and if He's told us He will hear and reward the humble and sincere worshiper, then why shouldn't we suppose that He is so compassionate as to help us in this work that He requires? For when He sees a humble sinner laboring and striving to break through temptations, to lay aside vain thoughts, to put carnal things far away from his mind, and to converse with God alone, why may not God impress some divine thoughts upon him? Stir up devout and strong devotion. Make him surmount his difficulties and raise him a little towards his heavenly Father. He says, look, if this is something God has required of us, and God has promised to help those who come to him in humility and sincerity, shouldn't we expect that God will help us in those very things? And that he will give us some success in our prayer. Let us pray dependently and expectantly for the Lord's help. Second, we need to learn to pray reverently. Pray reverently. God is our Heavenly Father. He has made Himself accessible to us, and He invites us into His presence. But let us not forget that He is the sovereign ruler of all creation, and we must be reverent in our communication to Him. He is not our pal that we can just be flippant with. There is a reverence that is owed to God. John Newton, another hymn writer and pastor, writes, "How much more when we speak to the King of Kings, should the consideration of His glory and our own vileness and of the important concerns we are engaged in before Him, how much more should these things impress us with an air of seriousness and reverence and prevent us from speaking to Him as if He was altogether such a one as ourselves?" Yes, He makes Himself accessible to us. Yes, He is our Heavenly Father, but He is the Lord of all things, the King of Kings, and we must come before Him with reverence. And so these things need to govern some of our attitudes with which we approach the Lord. The next item I have for you as we think of general helps for prayer, and now we're getting a little more into the acts of prayer. Pray specifically. Pray specifically. There is a place for general prayers, but specific prayers are more effective. Specific prayers are better prayers when we are able to pray them. And in the right occasion as well. There are occasions that are more suited to general prayers. Listen to J.C. Ryle. J.C. Ryle writes, "We ought not to be content with great general petitions. We ought to specify our wants or our needs before the throne of grace. It should not be enough to confess that we are sinners, but we should name the sins of which our conscience tells us we are most guilty. It should not be enough to ask for holiness, but we should name the graces in which we feel most deficient. It should not be enough to tell the Lord we are in trouble. We should describe our trouble in all its peculiarities. This is what Jacob did when he feared his brother Esau. He tells God exactly what it is he fears in Genesis 32. And this is what Paul did when he had a thorn in his flesh. He sought the Lord, 2 Corinthians 12:8. He says, this is true faith and confidence. We should believe that nothing is too small to be named before God. What would we think of a patient who told his doctor he was ill, but never went into particulars? Pray specifically in our confession of sins and our desires for grace and the troubles we find ourselves in. Pray specifically. This is the pattern we find in Scripture. Fourth suggestion, pray scripturally. Pray scripturally. If you struggle to know what to pray for, if you struggle to know how to pray, the simplest thing I can recommend is to open your Bible and pray along with passages in the Bible. You will never pray a bad prayer if you're praying the Bible. And we find examples of saints in Scripture doing this as well. I won't go there, but you could look at Acts chapter 4, verses 24 through 30, where the early church takes one of the Psalms and uses it as their prayer to God when they are in a time of trouble. And that really is a great place to start with the Psalms. The Psalms themselves are essentially written prayers. To take the Psalms and to pray those things would be a great help to you in your prayer life. And I think I need to say here for a moment, we ought not to be afraid of pre-written prayers. There is nothing less spiritual about a prayer that has been written beforehand, either by yourself or by others. There is nothing less spiritual about that kind of prayer. In fact, this is part of why the Psalms have been given to us. Even Jesus prayed by quoting the Psalms, right? On the cross, he quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus himself prayed the Psalms. And don't be afraid of pre-written prayers like the ones in the Bible. Now, that being said, I would suggest don't rely entirely on prayers written by others. I don't think that would be helpful. You also need to offer your own prayers to God for the needs in your own life. So don't allow your prayer life to be exclusively governed by praying scripture texts or other pre-written prayers. But don't be afraid of pre-written prayers. They're not less spiritual. And if I can kind of piggyback on this, this is more for use in private prayer than it would be in public prayer. But similar to praying Scripture, I have a couple other suggestions for you. There are books of prayers that have been written by God's people that are worth using in your own prayers. And I know most of you are familiar with this already, but this little book, The Valley of Vision, is one of the greatest helps that you could find for your prayer life beyond Scripture itself. It's a series of prayers mostly written by Puritans, and there is depth and richness to them. They are just wonderful. And if you struggle to pray, this would be a great resource to get a copy of this. And each day when you pray, open to one of those prayers and pray along with it. Similarly, another thing you can do is open your hymn book. Hymns are prayers. The Bible even talks about hymns in this way. Hymns are a form of prayer. And you can open the hymn book and you can sing quietly to yourself if you want, or you can just sing in your head, or you can really belt it out if you wanted to. But that's a way to find help in prayer. By the way, every time we sing a hymn, we are together praying out loud a pre-written prayer. So for anyone who has a problem with pre-written prayers, they ought to stop singing hymns. Most of us, all of us, I think, already are regularly in the practice of praying pre-written prayers just because we sing hymns. So these are a few suggestions that can be used for all forms of prayer. We've said we want to pray dependently, pray reverently, pray specifically, and pray scripturally. Now let's think about some helps that are specifically for private prayer. First, plan a time for prayer. Plan a time for prayer. Don't just let it be something that might happen during the day, but find a specific time to focus on prayer. Put it on the schedule if you have to. And while you're planning on a time for prayer, plan on a place for prayer as well. Think about where you will be. The Puritans would talk about going into your closet. They meant going into a private place. Jesus even uses this language. It's trying to find somewhere to eliminate distractions. And somewhere, as Jesus teaches it, somewhere to keep from showing off, right? We don't want to do that either. But put this on your schedule in very specific ways. Block out times in your schedule and try to make it so that nothing moves it off of the schedule or takes its place. But if it is necessary for something else to take that place, then quickly find another place in your schedule to pray. Plan for a time for prayer. Secondly, plan what you will pray for. Plan what you will pray for. I think this one is such an enormous help. At least it is to me. You know, there's this idea floating around evangelicalism. It has its roots in pietism from some of the harmful portions of the two great awakenings in America. The idea is that somehow spontaneous prayers are better than planned prayers. Friends, I have to be just completely direct with you on this. This is absolute nonsense and must be rejected. Spontaneous prayers are not better or more spiritual than planned prayers. There's nothing in Scripture that would suggest that this is the case. Again, remember, we said a moment ago, the Psalms are a book of prayers. When you study the Psalms, do you know what you find in each one? It's been carefully planned out ahead of time. There are some Psalms that are written as sort of acrostics. Each they'll begin with the same letter or a subsequent letter going down verse or what. There's the chiasm structure. There's all kinds of different patterns and structures built into these prayers, which means that the greatest deposit of prayers that God gives to us are all planned prayers. They're masterpieces of structure. The vast majority, if not all, of the prayers in the Bible are very deliberately planned out ahead of time. Let us do away with the notion that spontaneous prayers are inherently more spiritual. Not to say that spontaneous prayers are bad, right? I'm not saying that. But there's not anything more spiritual about a spontaneous prayer. And to be quite honest, spontaneous and unplanned prayers are often worse prayers because they've not been planned out ahead of time. So don't just approach prayer hoping that things will come to you as you pray, that you'll just happen to remember what to pray for. We need to come prepared. We need to come to prayer with a plan. I suspect most of us come to prayer with very little preparation, but we need to change that. We need to plan what we will pray for. Think about what you will pray for so that you're not lost in the middle of your prayer wondering what you should pray for next. Now, having said that, again, I want to guard against extremes on both sides. Praying without preparation is better than not praying at all. Okay? If you think, well, I haven't prepared, so I can't pray. No, just pray. But when you can plan ahead of time, do so. You may be aware at this point that the prayers that I offer during our worship service are all pre-written. Here are the prayers I prayed today. Right? I didn't used to do that. I started doing it a few years ago, and I believe that my prayers in the sermon or in the service have improved significantly because I have started writing them down. And I was greatly encouraged that soon after I started writing my prayers, many of you came and began to tell me how much you were appreciating the prayers that I had been offering lately. But most, if not all of you, did not know at that time that I was beginning to write them down. But I think that that provided evidence of just how much better our prayers can be when they have been planned ahead of time. So here are some suggestions for how you might plan your prayers. You know, one thing you can do is to take the prayer list from our Sunday prayer meeting. And that can be a way to help plan your prayers for the church, which is something I would encourage you to do, is to be praying for the church. There are apps for a phone, or you can make your own system which can organize the different things that you would like to pray for. I have an app on my phone. It's called Prayer Mate. I've shared this with a few of you before, and I think some of you even use it now as well. You're welcome to come and ask me about it if you're interested, but it's a way of organizing your prayers, and I think it can be a really helpful tool. You don't need an app for the phone. There are many other ways you can do it. The old-fashioned way was to just use index cards and some kind of filing system, and those things can work very well as well. But I want to encourage you to find some system to organize what you will pray for. I think you will find it to be a great help in your prayers. All right, we're talking about prayers, helps for private prayer. We talked about plan a time, plan what you will pray for. Third, I also want to encourage you to pray throughout the day. Pray throughout the day. Okay, so earlier we talked about planning for a focused time of prayer. But here I also want to encourage you to think about the practice of praying throughout the day. So that as things come up, you can be very quick in bringing them to that throne of grace. So that when you sin, you don't need to wait until your allotted time for prayer to confess that sin to God. Do it right away. When you're faced with a difficult task, you don't have to wait until your focused time of prayer, but just ask the Lord for help. It doesn't have to be a long prayer. It can just be very quick. When you need wisdom, ask God for it. When you need patience, ask God for it. When you see someone else in need, just pray for them. Pray throughout the day. Try to cultivate a habit of being regular in prayer throughout the day. I remember hearing a story about a prominent religious figure who was asked a question that went something like this. Can I mow the lawn while I pray? Or can I do the dishes while I pray? And the man thought about the question and he answered it this way. He said, you should not mow the lawn or do the dishes while you pray, but you may pray while you mow the lawn or do the dishes. I like the way that he says that. I think it's a neat way of doing it, saying, when it's time to pray, let's give our devoted attention to prayer. Let's have those focused times of prayer, that's our prayer, and let's not allow other things to come in and disturb that time of focused prayer. But then, in all of life's activities, let us be quick and ready to pray at any moment, even when we are doing something else already. All right, those are three suggestions for help in private prayer. Let's now move on to some helps for public prayer. Some helps for public prayer. This could be in a church prayer meeting, could be in a Bible study, could be family worship. Who knows what other opportunity there might be for public prayer. First suggestion I have for helps for public prayer is to pray privately. First help for public prayer is to pray privately. What do I mean? The better your prayer life is privately, the better equipped you will be to pray publicly. Many who struggle to pray publicly, or maybe I should say some who struggle to pray publicly, struggle because they are not practicing prayer in private. And so make sure you are praying privately, and it will help you when it comes time to pray publicly as well. Secondly, as you pray publicly, pray genuinely. Pray genuinely. And here I sort of mean, I hope you won't misunderstand this, sort of be yourself as you pray. Thinking about things like the tone of your voice and your personality. There's no need to change the way that you talk and the way that you act as though there's this more spiritual way of doing these things. I had a professor in college who felt that he needed to pray to God as though he was speaking from the King James Bible. Now, he never talked that way in teaching class or in regular life, but when it came time to pray, it was thee, thy, thou, and thou hast done these things for us, O Lord, as though that somehow made his prayers better. No, it just, honestly, it's just a distraction. Just pray genuinely. Pray yourself. Many of you, I'm sure, can identify the sort of prayer voice that sometimes people will have. Those things aren't usually helpful. They're usually distracting. They don't make our prayer more acceptable to God. They just distract. Listen to Charles Spurgeon talk about this. He said, as you would avoid a viper, keep from all attempts to work up spurious fervor in public devotion. Do not labor to seem earnest. Pray as your heart dictates, under the leading of the Spirit of God. He says, you know a good man who groans, and another whose voice grows shrill when he is carried away with zeal, but do not therefore moan or squeak in order to appear as zealous as they are. Just be natural the whole way through and ask of God to be guided in it all. There's no need to put on a special voice. Just pray genuinely in your public prayers. Third, pray concisely. Pray concisely. Jesus warns against vain repetitions and lengthy prayers in Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. And I have two really good quotations about this that say just about all that I want to say about them. The first, again, comes from Charles Spurgeon. He says, long prayers either consist of repetitions or else of unnecessary explanations which God does not require, or else they degenerate into downright preachings, so that there is no difference between the praying and the preaching, except that in one the minister has his eyes shut, and in the other he keeps them open. He goes on, he says, it is not necessary in prayer to rehearse the Westminster Assembly's catechism. It is not necessary in prayer to relate the experience of all the people who are present, or even your own. It is not necessary in prayer to string a selection of texts of Scripture together and to quote David and Daniel and Job and Paul and Peter and every other body. It is necessary in prayer to draw near unto God, but it is not required of you to prolong your speech till everyone is longing to hear the word Amen. And then on the same topic, John Newton. The chief fault of some good prayers is that they are too long. Not that I think we should pray by the clock and limit ourselves precisely to a certain number of minutes, but it is better of the two that the hearers should wish the prayer had been longer than spend half the time in wishing it was over. This is frequently owing to an unnecessary enlargement upon every circumstance that offers, as well as the repetition of the same things. But I believe it sometimes happens, both in praying and in preaching, that we are apt to spin out our time to the greatest length when we have in reality the least to say. Pray concisely. There's no need to elaborate words more than is appropriate for the situation. Finally, in your public prayers, pray to God and not to man. Pray to God and not to man. Right? Remember who it is that we are praying to. We aren't trying to impress anyone with our prayers. It's also not a time to try to be instructing others in our prayers. You think, oh, Mr. So-and-so really needs this to be corrected in his theology, so I'm going to incorporate it into my prayer so that he learns this important lesson. As Spurgeon succinctly puts it, preach in the sermon and pray in the prayer. And I think that this can be an encouragement to public prayer. I know that there are many who get nervous about praying in public, but I think it's helpful just to remember who it is that we are praying to. We're praying to the Lord, the one who knows our weakness, the one who knows the difficulty of prayer, and the one who has sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. Pray to him in our prayers. Don't worry about impressing anyone else. Just pray to God. And then there is one final thing I'd like to say that's specific to our own prayer meetings. This is I think would be a helpful item for you to consider. When I contact you for prayer requests for yourself and for your family, I'd like to suggest that you give requests that are for yourself and for your family, and be careful of using it as a time to ask for prayers that are for other things. If you want the church to pray for something else, feel free to ask me to put that on the prayer list. But when we pray for you, we want to pray for you. And I fear that at times we use it as a way of trying to make a political statement or a social statement, and we want to be careful against those kinds of things and leave prayer requests for ourselves to be prayer requests for ourselves and for our family. All right, well, we have covered many suggestions today for help in prayer. I know there's been a lot here. I hope that there have at least been a couple of things that have been helpful to you and that you can use as you think about your own prayers. And I hope that these have been sufficiently practical. But again, I want to remind you that the greatest help that we have in prayer will not be any of these practical instructions, but it is the Holy Spirit who has been given as our helper, as a strength for our weakness. All right. Let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, again, we have considered today just how difficult prayer can be. And so we ask for your help. Help us each to be faithful in prayer in our own lives. And help us as a church to be faithful in prayer as you have called us to be. Help us to learn the skill of praying well, in sincerity and in faith. And as in all things that we do, we thank you for Jesus Christ who died for us and for the Holy Spirit whom you both have sent to us. For we know that we stand only in and by you, in Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.